quickly
from Isaiah 6, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." With that, it's my pleasure to introduce Daniel and Elizabeth Baxter. They're going to just give us a rundown of what they're doing now, and then Daniel will bring us the message.
Thank you. So a few weeks ago when I called Dean Bertelson to see if we could present what we were doing at the church, and I was hoping for like 5 minutes in between songs, and he said, "Oh, actually that day our pastor's out, you could have the whole service time." And so I quickly said, no thank you. And my wife was there and she said, "Yes, say yes, say yes, say yes." So I was like, okay, maybe the Spirit is telling her to tell me to say yes. So I decided to. I would rather be dropped in L.A. and told to meet random people and tell them about Jesus and stand up in front of a group and talk. So this is a little stretching for me, but here we go. So today I was going to talk about a little bit about suffering. And suffering... So in Genesis, God created everything, gave man one command. They broke that command, disobeyed God, severed that relationship with God through sin, and brought suffering into the world through a lot of different avenues. So I'm going to share about Job. Job 1, 6 through 2:10. So, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And I might just skip ahead. I'm assuming a lot of people are familiar with the story of Job. So Satan's allowed to basically wipe out all his earthly possessions, and including his children, and then comes back and gets permission to take his health. So when I was a kid, so one of the things that Job learned through all this is, as he's going through this, he actually gets a closer walk with God. He gets to know God better. Towards the end of the book of Job, him and God are, God's kind of really bringing a lot of questions before Job, and he gets to kind of see who God is a little better. When I was a kid, I was watching a cartoon video of Job. He lost everything, and then we had to leave before the cartoon finished. And just saw this relationship he had with God, and he lost everything and would not reject this God. And to me, it was like there's this reality to this relationship with God that's more valuable than anything on earth. And so on the way home, I started asking my parents about God and a relationship with God. So they were explaining the gospel more thoroughly, and that led to me getting saved. So, and Job's suffering led to my salvation. So here's one way God used suffering in the life of Job to bring about a good effect. I think in suffering, we get options. We can use suffering to become more bitter, or we can use it and look to God, and through God, we can become better in the end. So then let's, sorry, I kind of cut off a bunch of my passage there. So let's go to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Actually, before we read this passage, I'm going to share a little background. Sorry. So I worked in Alaska 6 seasons on a commercial fishing boat. I worked for one guy first, and then I was going to quit going up, and his buddy had a spot on his boat, really wanted me to come. I went and filled in, and then I ended up working for him for several more seasons. Totaled the 6 seasons by then. But the last season, he was just treating me really bad, the whole season. Like, I'm very easygoing and kind of a people pleaser. So by the end of the season, when I'd go out, I'd be in the skiff, and I would just turn the radio off because he'd just be, like, really foul and swearing at me. And so then I'd come back in, and he'd be like, we lost communication there for a while. Like, yeah. But so he was treating me really bad, and I was just struggling with it and getting a little upset and crying out to God. And in my devotional time, God led me to this passage, and he kept bringing me back to it. So it says, then Peter came up and said to him, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times, Jesus said to him, I do not tell you 70 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience on me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So I'm going through this, and he's just treating me worse and worse every day, and I'm trying to, like, reconcile this relationship, and I had no idea where I was coming from, what was going on. He was usually a nice guy to work for, and when I'd focus on the wrongs that were being done with me, it was becoming bigger and bigger, and I was crying out to God. But once I started getting this passage, and then I would look at the debt I owed God, him sending his son to die on the cross to pay for my sin debt I owed him, it made that big wrong so small. It made it that $100 debt instead of that huge debt. So through that, I was able to, like, work through forgiving the guy. And anyway, end of season, he cheated me a bunch of money. So thankfully, I already had this passage and this perspective to put it in, which made it a lot easier to work through. And I believe God used that in my life to soften me and make me more able to forgive and work through that process. And that suffering would be me getting sinned against. So, I mean, sin causes suffering through all sorts of different avenues. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes somebody else gives it to you. Sometimes through nature, through circumstances, stuff happens. So another thing in our lives that we suffered was So I'm a Baxter, and Baxters have lots of kids really fast. And so I got married, and my wife came from a family that had similar genetic makeup of kids just happening. So we started trying to have kids, and about a year in, we're like, okay, that's like, as far as we know, we're the only Baxter that's tried having kids, and this shouldn't be this hard. So we ended up with some infertility stuff, and we were pursuing it, and it lasted about 5 years. So one of the passages God brought us to while we were going through that and trying to figure out what to do and how to handle it was Psalms 127, verses 3-5, which say, "Behold, children are heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates." So I suppose that's a unique one because we were not having children. But one of the things that was we really landed on, God's has this is where we're at. And so we decided not to be quiet about it. We shared it freely and openly for the hope that what we were going through would be able to help other people. We would be able to connect with people and use it. And we largely saw it as, you know, they are a blessing from the Lord, and he's in control. He's sovereign. He can give us children if he wants. He can withhold if he needs. And just looking through the Bible, there were godly people of the Bible who had little to no children, and there were other people who just had a lot of children. So it was very clear to us it's in God's hands. So we really tried hard to be like, okay, how do we put this in God's hands? How do we pursue this to a point where we're like still in our conscience trusting God but doing a step towards pursuing it? So we had to find where that was for us, that we were still trusting God and not just saying we're getting kids whether you like it or not. So it was kind of because we were able to talk to friends of ours who we had had for a long time who were years farther down the infertility path who'd never talked to anyone, who'd never even knew the next step in pursuing anything. And so we saw some stuff come from that, but through that suffering, there was God uses it, you know. God causes all things to work together for good for those who trust him. And so when you put it in God's hands, he can use it. So Romans 5:15-19 talks about, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." So, as far as suffering goes, if there's someone who shouldn't have had to suffer, someone who lived a perfect life, someone who could have avoided suffering, it would be Jesus. And Jesus... So we started in Genesis. The sin came into the world through one man, through Adam. So sin came into the world and led to suffering. Jesus came and went through suffering to provide a way. In that beginning, your relationship between man and God was destroyed. Jesus, through entering into this suffering, brought justification and righteousness and grace and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he provided this way for that relationship to be right. That, and one day will end suffering and everything will be renewed. But for now, we're living in a time that there's still the effects and impacts of sin in the world and suffering. But even the suffering Jesus went through led to salvation for us in a way to be right with God. There's another avenue of suffering, which I didn't have time to figure out any examples of, that would be me causing other people suffering through my sin. And I decided just to skip that one because I didn't really want to talk about it. So, but it has happened, I'm sure. So there's lots of ways of suffering happens. I think part of what I've tried to point out a little bit is that God can use suffering, and like being saved through the story of Job and seeing the suffering that happens in the Bible. I can think of like Paul, shipwrecked, but he was on a ship because he was going to testify in Rome. So he's a prisoner, then shipwrecked. Then gets brought to this island, and makes it to this island, gets bit by a snake, and so there's a little suffering leading up to this, and he gets to spend the winter there sharing Jesus with the people on this island. And so it's just, when people suffer, there's, God definitely has a point through either our suffering and people seeing how we go through it, where the gospel just shines so bright, or where they're going through suffering and there's an open door to walk in with hope and really point them towards becoming better instead of becoming bitter. So last year, about, was it Memorial Day? We heard about Go Serve. Somebody I knew had worked with Go Serve Domestic, and we heard about it and started. I had mentioned to one of my sisters that would have been something really neat I would have liked doing. You know, like just I heard about what he was doing. I was like, wow, that fits kind of a lot of what my life history has done. And I'll share in a little bit what Domestic is and does. So then my dad heard about that and called me and said, hey, if you're interested, there's a position available. And so we started praying about it and pursuing it. And one of the verses we came to was Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2, which says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So looking at that, I came on to help add a construction project aspect to Domestic. Domestic had largely done disaster relief stateside and a little bit of construction. So unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And just looking at that, so this Psalms 127 has kind of become a life chapter for us at this point in our life. So they largely what Go Serve does internationally, stateside, is seeking to deliver hope to those in the greatest need. And so that idea of just, if the Lord's not in it, we can go rebuild and we can give people their stuff back. We can go help clean up. And if the Lord's not in it, if the gospel's not there, if that's not being used to point people's hearts to God, it's kind of in vain. So I'm going to have Elizabeth come up, and so I don't have to be up here alone anymore. And We're going to share a little bit about Go Serve in general, and then if there's enough time, we'll focus in on what we're doing more specifically. So I'm going to have her.
So this is the part of the service you can pull out your phones. Please pull out your phones. We did this Kahoot. You open up your phones and go to the webpage or the app.
It's Kahoot.it.
Kahoot.it. It shows up there. Enter this pin, and you'll get to answer questions that we have up on the screen.
There'll be questions, and then you can click the answer on your cell phone. The faster you get the right answer, you get a little more points. So by the end of our presentation, I have a small gift card that will buy several donuts at least, or something. I think it's from Quickstar. So whoever wins the quiz will get the gift card. And then I'll probably read the quiz question, or I don't know. We haven't really talked about who's going to do what on this part. So.
If there is time for questions and answers after, and while you're sitting there thinking about questions, go ahead and text them to Chaz, because, you know, you're already on your phone, so perfect.
Okay. So we'll wait just a little bit longer and... So... Hey, someone had a birthday today. Or says birthday girl. So. You're going to play? Okay. Well, we still have people popping in. So. Anyway. Okay, I think you can keep joining even if we start. So we'll go ahead and start the first slide. And, or do we have to? Okay. Okay, this is the first question. This is a practice question, so you guys can see what it would be like. Oh, this is not the parent. This is not a practice. What prompted the start of Go Serve Global? And an earthquake in Peru would be the red one. An earthquake in Haiti would be the yellow one. Plane crash in Peru would be blue. Plane crash in Haiti would be the green. Okay.
All right, next.
Do you want to have anything green?
All right. Go Serve. Their mission is to share love, God's love, by responding to disaster, empowering community development, and hands-on world change. So the correct answer was earthquake in Haiti. It killed over 200,000 people and left 105 million homeless. Next. One, Kendi Young answered a call for pilots to fly medical supplies. He flew over 40 times to provide aid, and then he met Terry Baxter and Eddie from Haiti, and they worked together to start an orphanage. They were then invited to learn more about safety homes.
Okay, next. So the safety homes, they teamed up with Sukup. Sukup was looking at the same disaster and thinking that maybe they could come up with a solution that would be earthquake hurricane resistant. The safety homes historically have been able to get shipped, set up in a concrete floor, put up in country for $7,500. I say that because the cost of shipping containers recently just jumped up quite a bit. So I don't know what those new numbers might look like, but for Haiti, that price would be going up a little. They last about 75 plus years, and they've already had over 500 set up in Haiti alone and have went through Hurricane Matthews and a significant earthquake and survived. So, okay, so what people were living in, especially displaced, were just these little makeshift homes. So to end up getting a safety home and be able to lock the door, be safe from natural disaster and such was a big help for the people in Haiti. There were hurricanes where the structures were coming down and people were seeking out better structure and ended up with quite a few people in each safety home hiding out from the hurricane. So, okay. True or false? The safety home is 10 degrees cooler inside than outdoor temperature. So. So, if you don't have a phone, you'll have to keep score on your own. So, that is true. Now, it's got a second roof, which is a heat shield, which allows a cooling effect. So that information is probably when the sun is beating on it. At night, I don't think it would be so much that way.
GoServe is currently actively serving in actually 5 countries, the United States, Haiti, Guatemala, India, and Peru. Which country does not have a safety home? Peru, Haiti, Guatemala, or Liberia? So actually, it is Liberia. Or I'm sorry, Guatemala. Guatemala does not have a safety home set up in it. While GoServe is active in Guatemala, they do not utilize the safety home. But another organization contacted GoServe and asked for help with an orphanage, and so they did not have the funds to put up buildings, but GoServe was able to raise that and brought in the safety homes. We are not active in there, as in we do not, GoServe does not manage the day-to-day operations of that orphanage, but there are safety homes there. So we have partnered with lots of different organizations. There's some safety homes in Uganda and in Kenya. We partner with them and let them then go on with their organization. So there are over 500 safety homes in Haiti, over 3 villages, an orphanage, a birthing center, and a medical center.
So in Peru, we work with Beth and Elton Noriega, which would be the Genesis Church in the Hidden Creeks camp, Bible camp and training center. And then training for local pastors and teamed up also. Bethy and Elton would do the men's and women's encounters. And then recently, teaming up with, I don't know if it'll be on the next slide, Lifeline Ministries, kid ministries and food distribution and stuff right in the heart of Iquitos also.
So the Lifeline Ministries is what the May Miracle was just recently. Hannah and Manuel, their kids ministry needed a place to be. The church needed a place to be, and they had a building that they wanted to purchase. And they needed to raise the funds within a month. They needed a little over $100,000. And praise the Lord, they managed to raise $136,000 before the end of the month. And that covers everything. The cost of the building, the closing costs, plus they now have maintenance stuff that they, funds that they can use right away. And they also got had some troubles with their NGO status right before the purchasing, and that has cleared up, and they are ready to go. So it has been a great miracle there.
So in India, Emmanuel Boarding School has 90 kids, including girls who don't normally get an education. They also work with tribal pastor training. Guatemala, next slide. Guatemala had a church planted in 2016, a school opened in 2019 with 95 students, and they're already looking at expanding the school aspect in Guatemala. Okay, next slide. Oh, Uganda. Uganda has over 1.3 million refugees. 64% of the refugees are under 18. Teamed up there and sent safety homes for a refugee camp. So, next. So, in the United States, domestic exists to help families impacted by natural disasters, bringing in equipment, cleaning up after natural storms, cleaned up after the derecho and tornadoes in 2022, and continued cleaning up this year. They've been a lot of places. They also have had a partnership with Abide and go down and do construction projects in Omaha with Abide Ministries, and I'm looking to bring more of the construction aspect. Okay, next. Okay. True or false? There are safety homes set up in the U.S.
That is true. Can go to next. Surprising, most of the safety homes set up in the United States are used for promotional events. At the Iowa State Fair, we will have one set up, but there are some permanently set up at different camps and locations too. I know in Hidden Acres, and this picture is at Twin Lakes over south of Albert City. There's one in Thresherman's, and there's one in Eagle Grove. So if you want to experience sleeping in a safety home, you could probably call up any one of those places and give it a shot. It would be a camping experience. And we would love to see you at the State Fair with us.
Okay. So next slide. How to help. So you could be a prayer partner. You could go on a missions trip. You could spread the word about GoServe and consider a financial gift. That's ways that would help. Beyond that, we have like a really busy summer schedule with setting up safety homes for different promotional events and taking them down. There's stuff probably not that far from you if you would want to jump in and help out. There's some ways you could get involved. So, is there another slide? Okay. Oh, this one's a poll. So, how will you help? So, be a prayer partner, go on a missions trip, domestic or overseas, help spread the word of God about help spread the word about GoServe Global. Sponsor a child from Haiti, Uganda, India. Consider a financial gift to GoServe Global. Meet us at a state fair.
So, sorry, we did have some last minute editing that I don't think made it up there, but some of the summer schedule this year is we are going to be riding Ragbri, and I'll have a picture. I'll send a chat to the prayer. We're going to be praying every morning before our Ragbri. Come find us afterwards for your prize. But we'll send that out so that it can get to everybody. But we will be praying every day of Ragbri at different locations before we bike across the United States, just Iowa. Oh, that would take a lot longer. And then also, the beginning of August, August 6th, there is a concert in Mason City, Crowder. GoServe is setting up a safety home there. We will be at the Iowa State Fair, and we will be at the Farm Progress Show. There is a long list of opportunities to either just come see us or come help set up the home, talk to people, and we'll be happy to share that with you, too. So I think that's all we have. I don't know. Chad?
Do we want to invite Chad up or just send it? Okay, we'll just invite Chad up for... Oh, yep.
I have permission to do this.
Oh, boy.
Excuse me, thank you. I just wanted to share, this is actually really appropriate timing. All of you know that Maria and Hunter have spent years doing the shack. I'm not very good at standing in front of people either. But anyway, after last year, we decided that this was a good time for them to bow out of doing the shack and kind of stepping away from it, investing their time in other things that were important to their family. So Maria and I met last winter and talked about the money from the shack and what to do with it. And I think most of you know she had a brother that died in a grain bin accident. And so it was really important on her heart to take the shack money and buy a safety home with it in honor of her brother and in honor of the ministry of the shack. So just a couple weeks ago, we were able to take the money from the shack and we sent a check to GoServe and purchase the safety home. So anyway, I just texted Janice during the service. Should we tell the congregation what we did with the money? So all of you helping with the shack and the proceeds from the shack bought a safety home. So that's pretty appropriate timing. So thank you. Thank you for your ministry. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep.
I'm told we can't go much longer, but he's maybe going to ask us a couple of questions and then.
Yeah. So first off, well, let's just start with, has there been a special, unique, or fond memory that you two have had since starting with GoServe?
So we had, one of the needs we had was there was an indoor skate park ministry in Lynn Grove that had an electrical issue. Something fried out part of one of the panels, and that ran, it was some of the old stage lighting where the skate park went, and I was able to work on it to get it fixed, and my family was able to come with and run around all the ramps and stuff. And Elizabeth didn't run on very many. But the kids really loved it. So that was kind of a neat memory. Just being able to have the family included alongside and in the ministry was one of the big things we wanted to do when we joined. It wasn't just going to be Daniel's away from the family and doing ministry, and then he leaves the ministry to come back and be with the family. We really wanted to have the family together as much as possible and joined in.
Yeah, along that same thing, it was fun. We went to Village Creek Bible Camp over by Walk On, and they were building six cabins in 6 days. And we were kind of like, how's that going to work, like, on a construction site with our boys? And they jumped in right away and were, like, picking up wood pieces and smiling at all the people who were helping and trying to get on tractors. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun having them there.
Wonderful. Well, along those lines then, what are some ways that different generations and different ages I know there's obviously going international or serving in certain places might not be age appropriate for everyone, but what are some ways that different age groups can be involved in your ministry?
Yeah, it's actually surprisingly easy for everyone. Like I said, our oldest is 4, and he picked up sticks. So they're on construction sites, on disaster sites. We can utilize anybody, even if it's just sitting and talking to someone. That's huge. Just being able to sit there and have fellowship with someone while everybody else is working, or picking up sticks, pushing a wheelbarrow around. I mean, you don't have to have muscles to help out.
I'd agree with that. One of the most important parts would be developing that relationship with the people we're serving, and sitting down and hearing their story and some of the hurt and stuff they've been through, and just being able to listen and talk, and just being available is huge. So don't think that, hey, if I can't get in there and bench press 300 pounds, I probably shouldn't be there. I mean, we need lots of people to make this happen.
Are there some ways, both short-term and long-term, like say someone wanted to jump in to ministry with GoServe, beyond just financial support and prayer support, what is maybe an example of a short-term and long-term thing they could do if they're ready to dive in head first? I didn't want to make it too easy on you.
So short-term, on one aspect, short-term you could kind of almost just, hey, I could jump in and do something this weekend. I mean, if you keep in touch and you hear of I think of the U.S. domestic side stuff, that's a smaller ask. That's a jump in your car and get somewhere, maybe join in on a disaster or a planned trip that we would have, or even this winter would have like maintenance week at the Albert City location where we have to go through equipment and make sure it's ready to go for the next season. A little bigger ask, it might not be long-term, it takes a little more planning, is getting involved on an international trip. Or I suppose there would be avenues for, I'm sure we'd need long-term volunteer help on different avenues of just driving different ministry visions forward, and that could be partnering. One of the ladies at Domestic joined as just a part-time person, so it's long-term. She's now working like crazy. She was, I think, came on thinking 10 hours a week, and it's done way more than that. So there's lots of avenues.
I think long-term also would just be sharing GoServe, talking to people, like if you see a safety home or just see a grain bin and be like, hey, did you know those can turn into a house? And sharing the gospel too is really big.
Fantastic. All right, and this wasn't really planned either, but could I have the elders come up front, and we're just going to pray for them really briefly before we end our service this morning. So I think there's a couple here that aren't on vacation. Perfect. And for everyone else, we're going to lead into the last song after this, but can we just stand as we pray to God and pray for GoServe as well as Daniel and Elizabeth and their children? Lord, we lift up this wonderful couple and their family as they go and serve. And then along with them, there are so many others, both family, friends, and many they don't even know who are all serving with this wonderful ministry that just desires to show your love throughout the world, in different countries, and even in our own neighborhoods. Through service, through boots on the ground, and through allowing and just providing basic needs to those who are in crisis or just need something in life, and Lord, I ask on our end here, the local church, I ask that we would support them not simply out of obligation, but with a willing heart, that we would fund these projects that they are doing, that we would pray for them constantly and continuously. And Lord, if you're calling them, that we would even step out in faith and go and travel and serve. So I pray for Daniel. I pray for Elizabeth. I pray for their beautiful children, and for Go Serve Global as a whole. Thank you for this wonderful blessing that you have gifted to us to be part of. In your name we pray. Amen.